Jesus Christ, today and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. We greet you in that precious name. We've enjoyed being here already this morning. It's been a blessing. I appreciate your enthusiasm in singing. And I appreciate the things that have already been shared. And I like to see young families, children, young people. And they are the church of today and leaders of tomorrow. As we got off the train this morning, rather early in the morning, Joe looked at me and he said, "Are you really in Washington?" And I said, "I guess we are." And so it's been quite some time that Joes have left our community. And I may share a little bit about that more later. I'm not sure. But I'm so grateful to be a child of God. And I trust you are. And it's a wonderful blessing and privilege to meet with fellow saints as we travel this globe which we live on. It's also very true today that if you watch statistics in our nation, that the so-called Christian America is really not that way anymore. And we are in a minority this morning as the children of God gathering to worship as far as our nation is concerned. Over the course of time in my preaching, I would occasionally get a note from a suggestion with a suggestion for a message. We had a dear brother that lived across the road from us for over 40 years. And he's now gone on to his eternal reward. But he was a tremendous blessing to us as a family. His whole family was. And he experienced a lot of difficulties in life. The passing of his wife, of a daughter, of a granddaughter, was just married a year or so, of a daughter, all within a matter of 6 or 9 months, I believe it was. And many times we would go over and try to comfort and walk beside him. Just a couple years before he died, in our mailbox at church was a little note. And on that note, he said, "I would like to hear a sermon on a certain portion of Scripture." Well, I told him I acknowledged that request, but I regret that I did not sit down and talk with the brother and ask him, he was older than I was, "What does this scripture mean to you? Why are you asking me to speak on this subject?" But I wasn't able to do that. I didn't preach it. I didn't use this scripture while he was living. But one night, not long after his death, I had a dream. It was a very short one. And I don't put a lot of stock in dreams. But nevertheless, I had a dream. And in this dream, this dear brother was sitting in the center aisle about 3 or 4 benches down, which was normal for him when he was living. And he was looking straight at the pulpit. Now, I didn't see myself in the dream, but it just appeared to me the way he was looking. He was looking, "When are you going to preach that message?" And so I did sometime after that. And now the Lord has, like I said, the Lord called that brother home. And he wasn't there when I preached. Let's turn to, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I know we were studying this morning in about the tabernacle. Pardon me. Yes, about David building it and wanting to build it. And then God said that his son will build it. Now, I know this is an Old Testament scripture. But as I look at these verses, I was immensely blessed, and would like to make a few applications. And it's all about God in his word. And so we're going to be reading Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're going to be reading the first 13 verses. And our "Now therefore, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, Neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Balaper. For all the men that followed him, the Lord thy God has destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, to this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whether ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Remember, this is Moses here standing before the children of Israel and speaking to them, instructing them. And as he says here, take heed to yourself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, and that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. Now this is a tremendous scripture as we look at it. And we find Moses here, who was that leader that God had called. And here he stands before the people that he was asked to lead out of Egypt and go for the promised land. Now, you and I today, we have been called out of darkness and this world of sin, as well as they were out of Egypt, and into something, and that is into the marvelous life and light of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here for. It's all about God. God has created us. He has created this universe which we dwell in and live in, and he's created us and placed us in this creation for the purpose of receiving and that which he's provided for us through Jesus Christ and bringing honor and glory to the name of God. How beautiful that is and how wonderful that is. And praise God that we are those who have been called. Now I'd like to go to verse 9. This is where my text comes from. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. He's asking, Moses is saying, take heed unto yourself. And that's for all of us. And then he further says, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. He's asking us to be diligent to retain the word of God in our heart, in our life. But he tells us to do one more thing. He says, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. I've entitled my message simply this: take heed and teach. In our congregation at home, it's not unusual to have an older brother stand up or in Sunday school class or whatever and acknowledge, if he would have it over to do with, he would be more diligent in teaching his children and explaining to them the word of God. And I'm one of those. So I'm here to challenge you, encourage you this morning as fathers, as mothers, that we take heed to ourselves and our relationship with God and the commandments of God, and then we also teach them to the oncoming generation. I'd like to encourage you and challenge you this morning that if there's anything that is going to stand and be a witness and a testimony today, it's the church, but it's also the Christian home. I believe the Christian home today can make a greater impact in our world in which we live. I heard a brother say one time, not what America needs is a stronger army, but stronger families. And I believe that with all my heart. And you and I, as parents, grandparents, God has called us to pass on the teaching that we receive from the Word of God and pass it on to the oncoming generation. We'd like to just look at the scripture. I know it's Old Testament, but it's inspired by God, and I believe we can receive something from it. In verse 1, he simply says this: Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you. Now, I don't think Job moved out here to possess the land, or anyone else. That's not what the Christian life is about. That's not what the new dispensation is about. The new dispensation is about kingdom building, the church of Jesus Christ, building the kingdom for God and for his glory. And so I believe these scriptures apply just as well to us today, where he says, Hearken, O Israel. Hearken, O children of God, church of Jesus Christ. Hearken unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them that ye may live. This morning the challenge is, are we living? Are we living the Christian life? Are we enjoying it? And go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your father giveth you. You know, the day is coming. Life is very uncertain. Joe and Frieda, my wife and I, were talking this morning about his sisters. You know, they weren't really that old, but they left this life, and we believe went to the life beyond. You've had others in this congregation, even at a small age, that went on. And that's part of life. But the real important thing is, are we living? So that when the voice, death, angel comes, we're prepared to leave this life and to go and be in the life beyond. Are you excited about it this morning? Do you really believe it? I had a dear brother tell me the other day, he attended a funeral. And the preacher kind of hesitated a little bit. And finally he said, well, I really don't believe we can know for sure that we're going to make it. Brothers and sisters, this morning, that's sad. That's sad. That's what this book is about. From cover to cover. God has provided for us everything we need to live in this life and to be prepared for the life beyond through Jesus Christ. Think about it. Praise God for it. So he says, which I teach you for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Then in verse 2, he says, he gives us some further instruction. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you. You know, in Psalm 19, it says that the word of God, the Lord, is perfect, it is finished, it is completed. And you know, we can no more add to the revelation of God than we can add to the finished work of Christ. It's all completed, and we praise God for it. The scriptures of truth cannot be broken, so no repairs is ever needed. It's forever settled in heaven. It's truth. And I praise God that it is. And I trust you believe that. In verse 2, he says, ye shall not add unto the word. And so it's very important we recognize that. The scriptures of truth cannot be broken, so they need no repair is ever needed. And I praise God for that. Then in verse 3, it says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Balafer for all the men that followed him, and the Lord thy God has destroyed them from among you. You know, the Old Testament is full of people that disobeyed God, did not follow his commandments, and God dealt with them. But he didn't just deal with them. He also pled with them to return to him and to walk with him, and he would care for them and provide for them. Praise God for that. Then in verse 4 it says, but ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Why are you alive this morning? I trust you're alive spiritually because you are cleaving unto the Lord. You have received him as your Savior, and you're walking with him. And you are, that's why, you belong to him. You were purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we need to continue to be faithful. But I love some of these expressions that Moses used. I'm sure he was inspired by God. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord, our God, your God, are alive. Every one of you this day. What a blessing as we think about that. Then in verse 5 he says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Life is about living. Life is about living for God, for the one who created us and bought us. Praise God for that as we think about that. So that's a blessing as we think about it. Behold, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. You know, it's in this community, it's in this church that I trust God has called you to and to carry out the commandments of God. And he says in one place, they're not grievous, the commandments of God, but it's what our relationship is with him and with the word. Then in verse 6, he says, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great... I lost my place here. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. I'm sorry to say we cannot, even though we enjoy many blessings because of being citizens of this nation, I trust we are more concerned about the greater blessings that we receive and that we are to honor and bring glory to, and that's the kingdom of God. May God help us to recognize that. And what a blessing as we think about that. It says, keep therefore and do them. We're talking about the New Testament kingdom of God. And in verse 7 he says, what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Recently, I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Here we have a few verses. As I looked at them again this morning, it just blessed me. Deuteronomy 7, begin reading in verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, a faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keepeth his commandments to a thousand generations. What a promise that we can claim as his children. The Lord did set his love upon us, and he chose us through Jesus Christ. Praise God. This morning in Sunday school, there was some talk about perspective. And just recently, I heard of a church that wanted to build a church house. And three men set out to do something about it. And as the one man grabbed his shovel and pick or whatever, and he went out to start digging. And the three men had gone together, and they were all three asked the same question. The first man, they were asked, "What are you doing?" The first man said, "I'm digging a ditch." The second man said, "I'm digging a foundation." The third man said, "I'm building a church." What are you building this morning? Are you just digging a ditch for your children to fall into? Are you digging a foundation? Are you building a foundation? The statement was made this morning in class, something about falling away. You know, when we leave the foundation, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. When we leave the foundation, and there is no other foundation but Jesus Christ. And we praise God for that as we think of that. Then in verse 8, it says, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." Talking about the commandments of God, that we keep them in front of our eyes and that we read them daily. Praise God for his word, for the life that is therein. We cannot separate him or Jesus Christ from his word. It's all the same. Then in verse 8 he says, "And thou shalt bind them upon, for a sign upon thine hand, they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." You know, as we think about our souls, what soul is so great that hath the words of the living God dwelling richly within? The psalmist said, "They are more to be desired than gold. Moreover, in keeping of them, there is great reward." In Psalm 19, 9 through 11, "The incorruptible word in the heart, it will beautify the whole character as a seed in the earth when it springs up, beautifies a whole field with a comeliness not its own." Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it marvel as we think about that? You know, whenever I think of beauty in flowers and trees or wherever in God's creation, I think of God. He's the one that created it for us to enjoy. And his word is for us to apply to our heart and life, to partake of and allow it to do its work, that he be glorified. Not that we as individuals be glorified, but that God be glorified. I'll read this again. "The incorruptible word in the heart will beautify the whole character as a seed in the earth when it springs up, beautifies the whole field with a comeliness not its own." What a blessing as we think about that. What a blessing. Then sometimes I have too many papers and can't keep them straight. Then in verse 9, it says, "Take heed to thyself and teach them to thy sons' sons." What a blessing. The words of God are enduring for us and will be as effectual to our believing children and our children's children. I'd like to turn to Psalm 78. This is one of my favorite scriptures, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength, and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. You know, for years they've been trying to develop perpetual motion. They haven't been able to do it. But I believe spiritually we need to be doing that. We cannot save our children, but we need to be passing it on to the oncoming generation. So that, and I like what it says here, that the generation to come might know them. That's where our teaching needs to come in, that they might know them. Even the children which should be born, they aren't born yet. We should be preparing to teach them, who should arise and declare them to their children. How beautiful that is. Do we grasp the picture of passing the word of God on to the oncoming generation? And someday we all unite up in the glories of heaven. Not because we deserved it, because God gave it to us through his son Jesus Christ. We praise him for that. Then in verse 7 it says, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not the heart aright, in whose spirit was not steadfast with God. This morning, is your spirit steadfast with God? Do you know where you're going? Do you know where the end comes? If you are faithful to the end, do you know where you will be? I trust you do. What a blessing as we think about that. You know, Timothy, he knew the scriptures from his youth. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, tells us the love for the word of God dwelled in Eunice, his mother, and Lois, his grandmother. And it was passed on to him. You know, here he that heareth my word, this was the words of Jesus in John 5, where it says, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life. Hath everlasting life. And then he goes on and says, believest thou this? Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Lest they depart from thy heart. So he urged parents to share with their children their experiences, stories recounting God's great acts. You know, fathers and mothers, there is some history that we don't enjoy of our past. But I believe this morning, there's also things that we have learned along life's journey. And I believe it's important that we pass this on. Things that can be helpful to them in their journey of life. You know, it's been said about women that a woman's work is never done. Well, the Bible even tells us that the elderly women are to teach the younger ones how to love their husbands. When have you done that last? Maybe you've done it yesterday, I don't know. But I believe these are things that are blessing. How we need one another in this journey of life that we travel on. That we might continue to walk with him. Someone figured that we have 35,000 laws to enforce the Ten Commandments. I don't know if that's correct or not, but someone came up with that figure. That we have 35,000 laws to enforce the Ten Commandments. As I am this morning about this Psalm 78, I thought of something, and I suppose there are some of you that are here older than I am and even younger that remember Brother Andy Stutzman. Any of you remember him? Okay, there's a number of you that do. And I'm not sure how long ago this has been, but probably somewhere between 35 and 40 years ago, Brother Andy was traveling with a chorus from Holmes County, and they sang in our congregation. And the Sunday morning, I asked him if he would bring the message, and he said he would. And I needed to go to the neighboring community for communion or something that morning, and I couldn't even be there. But he spent the night at our house, and Saturday evening before he retired, I said, "Brother Andy, would you be willing to share something with our family tomorrow morning?" He said, "Sure, I'll be glad to." And I can still see Brother Andy. We went back to the living room there, and we kind of sat in a little circle light with our four children. And I think they were all born already. And Andy got his Bible out, and he leaned forward. And he began to read. And just leaned forward and looked at our children as though he wanted them to receive this message. And he turned to Proverbs chapter 4, and he read the first 10 verses about children obeying their parents and receiving the commandments and so forth. You can read it when you want to. And I was so blessed how he did that. Then he went further and told a story. He said that my father was an Amish man who, from what all I've heard, was an enlightened Amish man. He knew the scriptures. But he knew this young man that was about 15 years old that was headed the wrong direction. And Andrew's father went to this young man and laid his hand on his shoulder. And I don't know what all he told him, but in essence he told him this: if you don't change your ways, you're going to experience a lot of disappointments in life. And Brother Andy went on to say that my father did that to that young man, and that young man repented and gave his heart to the Lord. And he said today there are six of that man's sons are ministers of the gospel. Well, I thought that was pretty exciting. I really did. But he didn't tell me any names who these preachers were. So I had no idea. At that time, I was also teaching youth Bible study on our every other Wednesday evening. And so just 3 days later, on a Wednesday evening, I went to a young couple from our church. And I was excited because I knew they had heard Andy preach Sunday mornings. And so I wanted to tell them the story about Andy's father, how he laid his shoulder on a young man and encouraged him to change his way. When I did that, the sister there in the home where we're at got rather excited. And she said, "That was my grandfather." And there's at least two of the grandsons that are ministers of the gospel today. And we've had one for a week of meetings. And the grandsons, and we've had the grandfather has spoken our church many times, and it's been one of the greatest encouragement to my ministry outside of our congregation that I've ever had. What a blessing. One man, what did he do? He laid his hand on somebody's shoulder. Last summer at a Bible reunion, I'm at the end of 19 children. Father was married twice. I'm the baby. And as we gathered, there was only two of us Bilers. There's three left, but there was only two there at the reunion. And an older brother who was older than I am, Amish. My father was an Amish deacon, 50 years plus. And different ones were given opportunity. Then he said, way back in the 20s, there was a young man from another state, moved in the state of Delaware, and he was going the wrong direction. And he said, my father walked up to that young man and told him he doesn't change his ways. Something, he's going the wrong way. And this man said, I've heard him tell that many times. I don't know where I'd be today if my father had not reached or talked to him about where he's going. This morning, where are we? Do we love our children? Do we love God? Do we love the Church of Jesus Christ? Are we continuing our journey onward and forward for the glory of God? I trust we are. And I trust the day is coming when we will all meet in heaven in that glorious home that God has blessed us with. Something else yet that I had wanted to share. Somehow I cannot lay my hands on it. Two quotes here I'd like to share with you. The church is not made up of people who are better than the rest, but of people who are trying to come better than they are by the grace and help of God. If you don't firmly program your children's minds with truth, someone else will do so with half-truth, untruth, an unimportant truth. In closing, I'd like to say this. Life is about God. He is the creator of heaven and earth. We are created in His image. He instituted marriage for life. He instituted the family, the church, and all for His glory. I don't know much about your congregation, but I know you have experienced some trials. And just recently, I'd like to, if I can, some Proverbs. Now, it's in Proverbs. It talks about enduring. Proverbs 22. Verses 17 and 18. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. In reading in my 1 year Bible, even on this trip, you know, I'm challenged again about it's those that endure to the end that will win the prize. Several weeks ago, our son called me and he said, you know, school's going to start next week and I'd like to take my sons fishing. And would you like to go along? Well, that's a pretty good question to ask a grandfather. And he said, we want to go striper fishing. And he said, we'll have a captain and it should be a good day. Would you like to go? And I said, yes, I would. I need to talk to the other half, but I'm pretty sure it will work out. So we went, and our captain shared some things that were valuable to me. Now, a striper is considered a saltwater fish. And he said back in the 40s, there was a certain power dam in another state. It wasn't in Virginia. I'm not sure where it was anymore. But he said that a whole group of these stripers came from the ocean, where was salt water, into this power dam, which was fresh water. And there they were and thrived for a certain length of time. Something happened, I'm not sure what it was, that the gate was locked or shut, and these stripers could not go back out into the salt water. And literally thousands of them died. How they came to this conclusion, I'm not sure. But they discovered, in spite of the thousands of those saltwater fish that died, there were a few that endured the hardness that they experienced. I think it was just several dozen. And he said, today, all the stripers that are fresh water are from those few that endured hardness. Isn't that something? That's fish. That's only talking about fish. We're talking about children of God this morning. And I trust our desire is to endure hardness by the grace of God and endure unto the end. He that is faithful unto the end shall be saved. Shall we kneel before the Lord?